Welcome to A Servant's Heartbeat. My name is Kristen. Thank you for listening and allowing me to share my heartbeat for the kingdom of God with you. Well, just a reminder before getting started on what we're talking about today. If you look in the show notes or the description for this episode, the very first thing you should see is a link to the notes that follow along with what we are talking about today. Okay, so the promise and the process. Let's start there. We know that the promises of God are true. God is not going to lie. His word cannot fail. His word's not going to return unto him void. God will do what he said he will do. His promises are true. So it's important, and I think we could all agree that it's important to trust in the promises of God. But just as much as it is important to trust in those promises, there is also a process to trust as well. I mean, I can get really excited about the promises of God, things he has said he would do. But when it comes to that process, it's like, man, I don't know. Like this, the trials come, the uncertainties come, and we want the promise, but then it's that process that can get us sometimes. So let's take the children of Israel, for example. They were ready to get out of Egypt. God heard their cry for help, and God said he'd give them the promised land, and they wanted it. But when the process started to unfold, many of them were like, I don't know about this. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. In other words, they were willing to forsake the promise because they didn't like the process. And our lives are filled with different processes that we go through. You know, while things in this world may be degrading, you know, times are changing, things are getting crazy, I want my walk with God to be upgrading, advancing, pressing on towards that reward that he has promised. But that doesn't happen without going through the process, the plan that God has for our life. And in the midst of going through the process in life, we are going to have some experiences. Some feel good, some not so good. You know, sometimes we come out of an experience saying, boy, I don't want to go through that again. And other times we come out saying, let's do it again. You know, when we're doing our best to live in the will of God, the processes and the experiences that the Lord allows us to go through will shape us and sometimes even break us. But there are times that I may need that breaking point in order for the Lord to get me to the place he wants me to be. I think about that verse in Romans 5 that talks about knowing there are tribulations that work patience and patience experience and experience hope. Well, that word experience is referring to proven character, something that has stood through a test. A character with proof, a character with evidence, something genuine in a person's life. You know, so when the Bible talks about us being a witness, that's not only what we speak, you know, the witness that comes out of our mouth, but there's something to be said about the character witness of God's people as well. The things that are produced out of a life because of the process or the experiences that the Lord wants us, leads us to go through. Okay, so what is a process? If you were to go to the dictionary, you would find several different definitions for what process means. You will even find processed cheese in some dictionaries, and that's not quite what we're talking about, so let's clarify our focus here. So, one way to define process is progress or advancing. So something happens in the process of time. Something is moving forward. Another way to explain it, it's a result of gradual change. So the process of growth. And speaking of cheese, there's a book titled Who Moved My Cheese? And it talks about how we deal with the gradual changes in our life. It's told from the viewpoint of mice, but there's some good life lessons in that book if you haven't heard of it. And then another way to think about process is a series of actions or a series of steps, ordered steps, that lead to a end product. So while we all may be at different locations in the process of time, such as age, and the growing process in our walk with God, we're still in the process, a process where I want some ordered steps from the Word of God to lead me and guide me to the end result I'm aiming for. Okay, so to talk a little bit more about this process here, we're going to look at Elijah and Elisha. I think there are several places in Scripture we could go to that could kind of give us a better understanding or help us in understanding the processes or the journeys that we go through. But I think this one's a pretty good picture. And it's an interesting picture that really caught my attention because there is a good bit of repetition in the first part of this chapter that kind of makes you wonder and ask some questions. And that's what we're going to try to do, is look at some of those questions that at least came to my mind and maybe yours too. So 2 Kings chapter 2, we are starting with Elijah and Elisha here. And the first verse kind of gives you a pretty good idea as to where we are in this point of their journey or in the story. So verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Verse 4, And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? He answered, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Verse 6, And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. So, some things to point out, specifically some repetition to point out. So, 3 times Elijah asked Elisha to tarry here, basically wait here. 3 times Elijah told Elisha the Lord had sent him to certain locations. 3 times Elisha said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And then 3 times the sons of the prophets are mentioned, verse 3, 5, and 7, 2 of those which Elisha's response to them was, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace, or be still, be quiet. So what's up with these locations? Let's recall some of the things that we know have taken place in the past at these locations. So in what we just read with Elijah and Elisha, we are beginning this particular process at or from Gilgal. It's a launching off point, a time of beginnings. With the idea of beginning in mind, it's interesting to look back and see that Gilgal is where Joshua and the children of Israel camped before Jericho and the walls that fell. And while they were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover there. And the Passover took place during the first month of the year. Exodus 12:2 referred to this time of the Passover as their month of beginnings. It took place during the first month of their year. So as we think about the growing process, that place of beginning, it's not necessarily going back to square one. You know, you start this process and you feel like, oh, again, but it's not always a square one kind of thing. It could just be, this is the beginning of a new chapter. This is the beginning of a new season in my life. Maybe it's that place in our walk with God where we begin to see it's time to advance. It's time to grow. It's time to upgrade in my relationship with the Lord. There are some steps the Lord may be leading me to take to help me become. All right, that was Gilgal. Now there's Bethel. So some of the first mentionings of Bethel include Abraham building the altar or building an altar at Bethel. And this is also where God appears to Jacob in a dream in Genesis 28. This is where Jacob wakes up and says, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Well, in verse 17, he says, how dreadful is this place? Now, at first glance, that word dreadful, you're like, what? How, you're kind of scratching your head. But that word dreadful is talking about a reverent fear of God, being in awe of God. So rather than saying, how dreadful is this place, other translations write this, how awesome is this place, that reverent fear of God. So no matter where I am in the process, growing, advancing, moving forward, whatever God is leading me through, I don't want to lose that awe of God. That place where I step back, even in a trying and difficult time, and be able to say, like one psalmist did, my heart stands in awe of thy word. There's something about Bethel. There's something about going back to that altar. There's something about that reverent fear of God throughout the process. No matter where I am in the growing process, I want to keep that fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now let's think about Jericho. Well, that's well known for the walls of Jericho that fell flat. And we've talked about earlier how a process is a series of steps or actions. Well, the Lord gave Joshua some literal steps to take. They marched around the city, not just once, but seven times. And sometimes the Lord leads us to take steps in a direction or a method that we may not understand. Why seven times? Why keep silent as we walk? At this point, this is not a process to winning a battle that they had been through before or taken before. The promise was the walls will fall flat. They just needed to follow the process. So I want the Lord to order my steps throughout whatever process I'm in. I may not grasp, I may not understand the process, but I trust the one who is leading me through it. All right, so now we're at Jordan, that last location that we read about. And we may be reminded again of Joshua here, because this is the place where Joshua and the children of Israel are faced with an impossibility. They've come this far in the process now, and we're stuck, or so it seemed. So at times, we find ourselves moving forward, and then we hit this roadblock, an impossibility, a problem that I don't know how to get past. And we're asking, what do we do now, Lord? How do I keep going? How do I get through this? It's in those moments right there where I am faced with that impossibility that I don't want to forget what I do know of the Lord just because of what I don't know. Even though I don't know how the faithfulness of God may be revealed in a particular situation, doesn't mean that I want to forget what I know already to be true. God's faithful. All right, so we've talked about the locations and how they may relate to the processes that we go through. Now, a few more things that we can look at and how they relate to the process. So the first thing, why did Elijah tell Elisha to wait? I mean, we have some repeated things going on here. Three times Elijah told Elisha to tarry here. Well, in living for God, it's a process. We are advancing. There's gradual change. We're growing. There are steps to take. It's a journey. And at times during that process, I may be going through something and it may seem easier to stay at a certain location than to keep on pressing forward for whatever reason. Now, I'm sure many of you have read the end of this story and you know what happened and you know how Elijah was taken up with that whirlwind and you know what continued to happen in Elisha's life. So knowing that, could it be that this offer to tarry or wait here was a test of how faithful Elisha would be to follow? How far are you willing to let me lead you? How far are you willing to go? I think about the times in the Bible where there's mention of trials and tribulations and times where the Lord allowed some things in someone's life to try them or to prove them. Not to be mean, but there's a purifying going on here. So Job said in Job 23:10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." A purifying process. So there may be things that the Lord wants to do to lead us through, to develop some things in our life. Some things that wouldn't be developed any other way. I think I may have said this before on the podcast before, but there's a pretty wise lady in my life, known as my pastor's wife, who makes a statement often. We all have a choice if we have the courage to make it. Elisha had a choice. You can stay here or you can keep moving forward with Elijah. And now for our next thing to consider here, what made Elisha so determined to keep following Elijah? Three times Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." Well, his response is similar to one that Ruth gave Naomi in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, where Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from after, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge, thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Now, while the two scenarios here are different, I think the matter, or maybe better said, the motive of the heart is the same. Elisha was devoted to following Elijah, and Ruth was devoted to following Naomi. That heart of devotion that says, it doesn't matter what I go through. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep moving forward as well as I know how. And when you think about it, this relates to the children of Israel in the wilderness. When the cloud moved, they moved. It's that place where you continue to stay with that process despite how it makes me feel. Now, as we're going through the process, have our feelings been hurt? Yes, no doubt on that one. Have I been frustrated? Very, at times. Have I ever felt defeated? More than once. But at the end of the day, there's no loss, there's no conflict, there's no heartache, that is great enough to cause me to stay where I am. I may have a moment of discouragement. I may have a moment of frustration. I may have moments where feelings are hurt. But at the end of the day, if God is moving, I want to follow. I'm determined to keep going forward in this process because I love the one who is leading me through it. All right, so the third thing here. Why did Elisha tell the sons of the prophets to hold their peace? So three times the sons of the prophets are mentioned. Two of the times they remind Elisha or tell Elisha that the Lord is going to take Elijah. And Elisha's response was to hold their peace. I know it. Now, at first glance, at least for me, when I was reading this part, I couldn't help but to wonder what was Elisha's tone when he was saying, yea, I know it, hold your peace, which means I know it, be quiet or be still. So I'm wondering, was Elisha frustrated, you know, when he told them to hold their peace? Well, after studying this a little bit, I don't know that he was frustrated, but more so that he just preferred not to talk about it. His focus was on following Elijah, and that was the priority. So for us in our walk with God, it's not just a walk with the one who is leading me, but I am also talking with the one who is leading me. Elijah and Elisha were talking in their process, and we see that a little bit in verses 9 through 11. It records part of their conversation. This is where Elisha asked for that double portion of the spirit of Elijah to be on him. And in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked. So there's a conversation going on here as they're moving forward. And one can only imagine the things that were said during that talk. And as we progress and grow in the Lord, we begin to learn how important it is to be in tune with the voice of God. I'm thankful for sound voices in my life. So there are times where, not that the voices are wrong, because the sons of the prophets, you know, were right. The Lord was going to take Elijah. But there may be times in my life where I have to turn the volume down on other things in my life and make sure I take intentional time to listen to the one who is leading me, the sound voice in my life. All right, so wrapping this up, there's one more thing I want to look at before we finish here. And it's in verse 14 where it says, and he, being Elisha, took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Well, the focus I want to draw your attention to is the question. The question was not, where is Elijah, but where is the Lord God of Elijah? Well, in Exodus, when the children of Israel began to get the bright idea to make a golden calf, the Lord, some things happened, and then the Lord said that he would send an angel before the children of Israel to lead them into the promised land. He wasn't going to be in the midst of them. Well, the Lord saying that is what led Moses to setting up that tabernacle of the congregation, also called the tent of meeting, outside of the camp as a dedicated place to seek the Lord. In other words, it's not just about the promised land. What's the point of the promise if God is not in the midst? What's the point of going through the process if the Lord is not in it? Now, I'm guilty of looking at things from this scenario here, but sometimes we go through a process, a growing time, a trying time, maybe a moment where we are faced with an impossibility. And I know I myself have said this before, I need a miracle. And in that case, I really did. So the question may be, where are the miracles that I've heard so much about? And I do believe that God wants to give those miracles. But rather than putting all my focus on the miracle I need, God, where is the miracle? I need a miracle. I could begin to seek the God of all miracles. Maybe right now I'm in a process and I can't figure out the path. God, which road do I take? Which path do I take? Or rather than getting my focus all wrapped up in the path and asking, which path do I take? What if I asked, where is the Lord God that makes my path straight? The Lord has plans for his people. That's a promise. Jeremiah 29:11. And I don't want to forsake the promise just because I don't like the process. Job said, he knows the way that I take. He knows the path already. When I'm going through the process, when he's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So trust in the promises of God, but also trust in his process.